Now, if I were to ask you, when did the Christian church come into being, I wonder what you would answer. Was it, for example, when Jesus first called his disciples to follow him at the beginning of his ministry? Or was it at Pentecost, what we sometimes call Whitsun, when the Holy Spirit descended upon his followers a few days after he rose up into heaven? Well, for my part, I would say that the Christian church began at that lakeside picnic on the beach of Galilee, which we read about just now in our Bible reading. In that simple picnic, a simple meal together with disciples by the beautiful lake, the Christian church came into existence. So let's take a closer look at the story. And there were three phases in the story as we read it in the Bible. First of all, we find the disciples lost in what we might call the dark night of discouragement, a dark night of discouragement. They had just witnessed the terrible events of Good Friday, and they'd seen their beloved their beloved friend Jesus tried and condemned and then cruelly nailed to a cross by Roman soldiers, just as if he were a common criminal. And so he was executed. In that single act by the authorities, all that had made the disciples' lives worthwhile seemed to have been taken away from them, for Jesus was dead. And his mission to the world had apparently collapsed in failure. All they could do was to go back to their homes and to hide, lest they be arrested also and suffer the same fate as Jesus. They were a group of frightened, discouraged men, beginning to believe that the mission of love that Jesus had started had collapsed and had no future. Yet, soon afterwards, reports began to come in that Jesus had somehow, through God's power, risen from the dead. Some of his followers claimed that they'd even seen him and that he was alive. But his visits to them had been strange and fleeting. Somehow he'd looked different. Sometimes they'd hardly recognized him. He'd come and then suddenly he was no longer with them. He had disappeared. He was no longer inspiring them as he had when he was with them in the flesh, encouraging them, directing them to go out and do his work in the world. So what was left for them now but to turn their backs on the future with Jesus and return to their old jobs? Fishermen, carpenters, tax collectors, or whatever they'd been before Jesus had called them away from their homes and their jobs to follow him. And that's where we find them in the story that we read in the Bible that was read so nicely to us this morning. Back home in the old country, back in Galilee, bewildered men, disappointed and unhappy. And not only have they returned home, they're going back to their old jobs too. After all, what else can you do when you're at a loss? You've got to earn a living. So Peter says, I'm going fishing. And the others agree to go along too. And as night comes on and the darkness closes in, they go down to the beach and they push their boats out once again, as they used to before Jesus attracted them away. Now, that may sound odd, they go fishing at night, but we're told that still today, men fish by night on Galilee with a light on the mast, which draws the fish towards the boat and hence the net. But apparently on this particular night in our story, the fish weren't interested. So everything is going wrong. Their mission with Jesus had come to an abrupt end. Now, as expert fishermen, they couldn't catch fish. They felt they'd failed Jesus' disciples, and now they were failures as fishermen. We can guess their feelings. But then things began to change, and the night of discouragement begins to turn into the bright dawn of a new hope, the dawn of a new hope that will light up their lives forever. They've given up their fruitless or fishless expedition and are returning to harbour when they see in the dim first light a mysterious figure standing on the shore. They have no idea who he is, but whoever he is, he calls out to them, "Have you had any luck?" "No," they groan with downcast eyes. His reply surprises them. "Then cast your net out on the starboard side. You'll find plenty of fish there." Now, travellers to the Holy Land have reported that even today they fish like that there, with a man standing on the shore giving directions to the fishermen. For from the shore, you can see changes in the texture of the surface which indicate the presence of a shoal of fish, not so noticeable when you're closer to it in the boat. And so it was this mysterious stranger's directions. As soon as they cast their net, as he directed them, it filled with fish, a seething mass of fish, so many that they couldn't lift the net into the boat. They had to row to the shore, dragging the heavy net behind them and dragging it up onto the beach. It was a disciple, John, who first realized who the mystery man was. And he, the disciple whom Jesus loved, cried, "It's the Lord, it's Jesus." Well, Peter may have been slower of wit than some of his fellow disciples, but he was always the first to act. Immediately he understood. Immediately he got the message that it was Jesus standing on the beach. Peter was over the side of the boat into the water, striking out for the shore as fast as he was able. So impetuous Peter was first to greet his Lord. Only when he had enthusiastically greeted Jesus did he go and give the other disciples a hand dragging the heavily loaded net up onto the beach. And so we come to the third phase of our story. For it appears that Jesus had prepared for their coming. He'd lit a fire and was already cooking breakfast for them on the beach. And so as the sky brightens into the full light of another day, I want to suggest that the disciples grew also into the full light of a new understanding of Jesus and of his message. For there they joined together in a simple meal in this beautiful lakeside setting, and Jesus served his disciples and his friends with the bread and with the fish that he had cooked. And then followed a strange conversation between Jesus and Peter. Jesus asked Peter a question. "Simon, do you love me?" To which Peter indignantly replies, "Lord, of course I love you." Jesus replies, "Then feed my sheep." To Peter's irritation, Jesus asks the question three times. And Peter shows some impatience at it. But the importance of this question is found in the fact that Jesus is here handing the leadership of the disciples to Peter, for Peter is to become the first leader of the infant Christian church after Jesus leaves the earth in the flesh. Peter is to be the leader of the flock. So now the meaning of this whole lakeside incident becomes clear to us. The disciples could catch nothing while they trusted in their own efforts and skill. But as soon as they let Jesus guide them, well then, the net filled with fish. And it would be the same when Jesus left them to return to his Father's kingdom. If they trusted him and let him guide them through prayer, then the net of the church would fill to capacity with people who wanted to follow Christ. And Jesus will continue to be with them throughout the ages, guiding his mission. And his mission, the church, his mission upon earth is the church. And it's just as much as if he was still here with us in the flesh. And that's how it was as that new day dawned. The disciples came to a new understanding of the task that was to be theirs, the task that has been passed down through the ages. And so it is the task of the church today. Jesus said to his disciples, "Feed my sheep," meaning win the world for my kingdom. And that is the moment when the church began, and that is the task that he has passed on to us today. Amen.